Father, we do come before you this morning and we rejoice that you are the Lord of all, that you are our Redeemer, you are our righteous King, the King who ransomed us and has redeemed us. By your death on the cross and by your resurrection, Lord, we have a living hope. And we come today, Lord Jesus, to celebrate together this living hope that we have in you. We come, Lord, with gratitude in our hearts for all the ways that you have blessed us, the ways that you have changed us from within by a whole new way of thinking. And Lord, we thank you for the way that you have just shown your great love for us in bringing us together as your forever family. And now, Lord, as we come into this time of fellowship around your word, I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to understand all that you have for us today, to teach us, to instruct us, to help spur us on, Lord, to love and good deeds. And Lord, we do praise you. We do thank you, for you are risen. You are risen indeed. We love you, Lord, and we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Isn't this a beautiful day? Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice together and be glad in it. Amen? I'm excited. Now, Jason, I'm excited. You're excited? Who else is excited? Woo! Yeah. It's great. It's great to be able to be here today. You know, this, you know, as I was preparing this message, you know, I can think back to, you know, it was early morning and I was lying in bed and it was still in that place of, you know, that place between waking consciousness and sleep. You know, for me, that is just an amazing, peaceful place where you're just waking up and you're just not there. And for me, that's when the Lord speaks into me some really incredible things. You know, and I remember when I was lying there and I lifted up my voice to God, my prayer to God, asking him to give me a little nudge in the direction that he wanted me to go for formulating this message today. And almost immediately, it was there. Two words. Living hope. And as I started to come into the waking consciousness and I started to do my morning routine of just before my feet hit the floor, I do a whole series of stretches, you know, just to stretch out my legs. And then as my feet hit the floor, I remember that another thought came flooding into my mind, and it was a passage of scripture. And it was 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. That beautiful passage that Peter wrote, where he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last times. And in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. For though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Ooh. Ooh. Doesn't that just send tingles up and down your spine? Oh, I'm tingling right now. Maybe that's just the Spirit of God just warming me up today. But, you know, in this introduction to his letter, Peter speaks of the new birth that we are born into. It's a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus. And he speaks of our inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Wow. You know, there are so many things today, like, you know, I don't know how many times I've lamented, you know, that things just aren't built the way they used to be, right? You know, you buy an appliance, you know, you buy a washing machine, and you think, oh, it's going to last me 20 years, and it breaks down after 5, you know, or whatever, you know, all the things that we, you know, that we thought were indestructible at one point in our life, all of a sudden they just break down. But what Peter says here is, you know, we have an inheritance in Christ Jesus through his resurrection, an inheritance that is indestructible. Why? Because it's kept in heaven for us. It's shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in these last times. You know, when Jesus Christ comes again. You know we have a guarantee of an indestructible, glorious hope because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, you know, now that I was fully awake, okay, going back to, you know, how this message kind of came together. Now that I was fully awake, my feet on the floor, I was moving towards my office because I had to find a pen to start writing everything down because it just started to come to me. And some questions began to flood into my mind. You know, those nasty questions sometimes. You know, what is this living hope and the inheritance that is ours through Christ Jesus' resurrection? What is the impact of it on our way of being day by day? And how does this living hope affect the way that we live our lives on the court each day? Now, it's one thing to kind of have this in our heads, but how does it really affect us in everyday life? So I started writing, and this is the message that I'm giving you today. Now let's look at each of these questions. First, what is this living hope and inheritance? Well, in my Good Friday message, I mentioned how the sacrifice of Jesus forever redeems us from the punishment of sin and separation from God. And it's because of this that we can be secure in our hope, knowing that through the sacrifice of Jesus, our sins are forever forgiven, and we have peace with God in a whole new and dynamic love relationship with God. This is the inheritance that we have received, this new relationship with God because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. In Romans 5, 1-5, the Apostle Paul explains it clearly where this living hope comes from. He says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that the sufferings produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who he has given us. You know, this is the hope that we have as an anchor for our souls. We are firmly rooted and secured in the Savior's redemptive love for us. Through the sacrifice of Jesus, God has poured out and made available to us his unfathomable, unbreakable, amazing love. A redeeming love that transforms our hearts, brings us into a new possible relationship with God through faith in Jesus' redemptive work on the cross and the power of his resurrection living in us. You know, when we come to that place of recognizing who Jesus is, and we put our faith in him, then, and what he's done on the cross, then what begins to happen inside of us is something begins to change. Our old thoughts, our old ways of being, our old desires, when we lay them at the foot of the cross, all those sins, those things that so easily entangle us, when we lay them at the foot of the cross and we seek God's forgiveness, he pours out his grace and his love upon us. He redeems us. Not because of the things that we have done, but because of his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14, Paul makes this very personal statement about his living hope and about the transformation that took place in his life. Because you remember, Paul was, before he became a follower of Jesus Christ, he was out to destroy the church of God. He was someone who was driven in his hatred for those who were Christ followers because they didn't follow what he thought was the way to worship God. And yet, when Jesus Christ revealed himself to Paul on the road to Damascus and brought him to that place of seeing him in all his glory, Jesus tore from his heart a real desire to excel in all of the things of the world and brought him to that place of knowing Christ and him alone. This is what he says in his testimony in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 14. He says, whatever was to my gain, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God is on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, both Paul and Peter understood the reason for the hope that they had, and that their living hope was a direct result of the power of Christ's resurrection at work within them, securing in them their hope of an eternal future and an inheritance in God because of the faith that they put in Jesus, the trust that they had in Him. They understood that our living hope in the resurrection of Christ not only has an impact on our future with God, but it also has an impact on how we live our lives here and now in the present. According to Peter, our living hope transforms our way of being. Our steadfast faith in the resurrection of Christ gives us joy and confidence to face the grief and the suffering that will inevitably come as we face the diverse challenges and trials of life here and now. You know, I had a realization this week. Actually, I shared it with Deb and Austin this week on my calls with them. You know, this time of the year for me can sometimes be a real challenge. Not because, you know, of a lack of faith or anything like that, but because of the circumstances of my life. You know, as you know, 9 years ago, I had my whole life was radically fell apart. I've shared a little few pieces about that with you, but it radically changed and altered my family dynamics with my kids. And at the beginning of this week, I was really struggling because in my heart, I really wanted to have time with my kids this week over this weekend, and things weren't coming together just because of the circumstances of life. And I started to go into that place of, you know, it's all me, you know, like all these things happened years ago, and now that there's all this stuff that goes on, you know, and all the impact of the stuff that happens in our lives. And I was really getting caught up in that, and I was starting to get a little bit off focus, and I shared some things with Deb and with Austin, and specifically Deb prayed with me on Tuesday morning this week, and it was just like, she just reminded me, you know, this is part of our hope in Christ. He carries all of our suffering. He carries all of our sorrows, all of our sins. That's what He did on the cross. And when we lay them all down and lay them at the foot of the cross, we can know that He is able, and that not only able, but He is able to just transform our perspective. And so Deb just prayed into that with me this week, and I just laid it all before the Lord over the rest of this week. And wouldn't you know it, the Lord worked everything out. We were able to have some family come and visit with us Thursday night. One of Carolyn's boys came and visited us. And then on Friday, my daughter and her boyfriend, my daughter Joanna and her boyfriend and my son Nathan were able to come up and stay overnight. And it wasn't a really profound time on, you know, we didn't have a real big dinner on Friday night, but we had some hamburgers. That was our big Easter feast this year, hamburgers. But it was all because Joanna had requested that, you know, homemade hamburgers. And so we did that. So that was the start of the weekend for me. And then yesterday at lunch, the Lord just provided this beautiful, beautiful conversation. I don't even remember how it all started, but it was redemptive. It was restorative. It was very vulnerable. And yet, there was a shift that took place in that conversation, so much so that afterwards, my daughter, Joanna, just as she was leaving, she gave me a great big hug, and I said, you know, when you see your sister Emily you know, today. Just let her know that I love her. And she said, Dad, she knows that. See, my daughter Emily and I haven't spoken probably for about a year and a half. That's the sorrow I carry as a dad because of relationships that are not quite in that space of peace and harmony. And as much as I pray about it, as much as I really want that relationship to come back together, I realize that there's something there that she has to work through as well. And it's the stuff of life. And this week, what really got put into perspective for me was I can let all my sorrows, all of my past, I can bring it all to the cross, and I can let Jesus deal with it. Why? Because he is the one who, when he went to the cross, he carried all of our sorrows, he carried all of our sins, he carried all of our pain. He took it all on him. Why? So that he could take it and he could take it to the grave and it could be put to death with him. So that when he rose from the dead, he gave us the opportunity to enter into not just the suffering, but into the joy of the glory of God. Resurrection. Resurrection power. Resurrection power. Right in the heartaches of life. And those words that I shared with Joanna as she left. And what she shared with me, I won't say everything, but it just reminded me of the hope that we have. Even when it seems like the darkest, even when relationships seem to be out of sync, or when it seems like illness or our health is failing, or we're up against that struggle that we just can't overcome, it's never hopeless. Because of our living hope in Christ. Our living hope gives us a whole new perspective on the what so of life. Isn't that so true? Peter puts it this way. He says, in all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and result in praise, glory, and honor where Jesus Christ is revealed. When Jesus Christ is revealed. And according to Peter, our living hope helps us to be related to our present struggles in life with a totally new mindset. Totally different perspective. My mentor, Henry Nouwen, reminds us that Christ heals our pains. He reconnects them with the pain of all humanity, a pain he took upon himself and transformed. To heal, then, does not primarily mean to take away pains, but to reveal that our pains are part of a great sorrow, that our experience is part of a great experience of him who said, but was it not ordained that the Christ should suffer and then enter into the glory of God? You know, Christ took all of my sin, my suffering, my sorrow, my pain, all of it onto the cross with him. And then the man of sorrows who understands my sorrow He comes to me and he offers to me a whole new way of seeing my sorrow, a whole new way of life because of our living hope in him. According to Paul in Romans 12, 2, our living hope enables us to adopt a whole new way of being, where we are no longer conformed to the patterns of this world, but we're being transformed from within by a whole new way of thinking. When we've taken on our living hope as our new way of thinking and being, our old ways of thinking about ourselves, about the circumstances of life, and the challenges we face every day are no longer locked into a wash, rinse, repeat kind of cycle. You know, I think you know what I'm talking about. You know, that cycle that we go through when trials come and we're pushed out of our comfort zone, like this last year when we've been on that roller coaster ride, and even this past couple weeks, this roller coaster ride that we're still on with coronavirus. You know, we're wearing masks again, you know, because we want to protect each other in this time of high risk. But when we're in on this roller coaster ride, the predictable, normal, and already and always way of handling a crisis comes out in the full. You know, we get fearful, uncertain, worried, resistant. There's confusion. There's finger pointing. There's disillusionment. There's anger. There's more fear. There's more uncertainty. There's more finger pointing. There's resignation. And oh yes, there's, you know, we can't forget depression or despair or resignation. All those things. You know, it's almost like this endless cycle of all these things that keep coming at us. We go, Lord, when will it all end? You know, without the perspective of our living hope, without that perspective, our confidence in the resurrection power of Christ at work in us, we too can become overwhelmed by the patterns of this world that we're living in. But thanks be to God. Praise be to God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has birthed us into a whole new possible way of thinking and being that transforms our overwhelm into overcoming, our confusion into confidence, and our fears into faith. Amen? Amen. Now, because of our new and living way that Jesus' resurrection has blazed for us, it's now possible for us to transform the way that we experience even the most difficult trials of our lives. Listen to what the Apostle Paul shares again about the power of the resurrection at work in him, this time from 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 to 18. He says this, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power from God is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we are who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, 'I believed, therefore I have spoken.' Since we have that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Who's thankful for that today? Amen. What a beautiful testimony to the way that our living hope in Christ Jesus transforms the challenges we face into opportunities for faith to take root, grow, and to come to maturity in the way, in our way of being towards our life and even our death. You know, this week I was thinking about a really good friend of mine, Willie. Willie was 91 years old when he passed away in January 2021 as a result of complications from a COVID infection. It was last year, just before Easter, that I was listening to some messages on the church answering machine at my previous church in Perth. And there was a message, an old message that I hadn't erased yet. And when I started listening to it, I recognized it was Willie's voice. He'd called to let me know on December 18th that he would not be in church for the next couple of weeks because he just found out that he had tested positive for COVID. The tone of his voice was a matter of fact, as if he was getting COVID, as if this getting COVID was just a temporary thing and that he would be back to church after he got through his quarantine time. Willie didn't make it back to church again. His battle with COVID resulted in his death. But here's what's so incredible about Willie's experience. The last few weeks of his life in hospital, he was on ventilator. And the only way that I could visit with him was I had to call to the palliative care nurse, and she got in her hazmat suit at that time. And she went in and she took a tablet, and we were able to visit. It was really difficult for him to hear. It was hard for me to hear him, but we had a visit. And what was remarkable, even though he was facing death, his faith, his confidence was in his living hope in Christ. And that never wavered that last week. In fact, it grew stronger the closer he got to his death. In his life and in his death, Willie possessed a living hope that was unbreakable. Why? Because he had complete confidence in Christ, in the risen Christ. He had a complete confidence that in his life he was secure in his living hope. Now this living hope is the anchor for our soul that enables us to face our most difficult and challenging times with complete confidence in God's power to shield, defend, protect, and deliver us through the trials to the other side of those trials. Now, it may not be a life and death thing like Willie was facing. It could be anything. It could have been like a family thing for me. Whatever it is for you. The biggest challenges of your life, God is there. Christ is there, offering to us this living hope. And when we have this kind of faith, when we get to the other side of it, you know, God says to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Keep trusting. Keep putting your faith in this living hope that I've given to you in Christ. You know, as I've been reflecting on the impact of the resurrection of Jesus this week, the source of our living hope, it's become clear to me that this living hope that we possess brings the possibility of overcoming and confident faith to life. It brings it to life when we put our faith and trust in Christ. It generates the opportunities for us to live our lives with a whole new joy-filled perspective, even as we face difficult and uncertain times. As I've reflected on these things, I've been reminded by Peter not to take for granted the hope and the inheritance that is ours in Christ Jesus. Yes, we have been given birth into a living hope and an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade away. It's being kept in heaven for us, and we're being shielded by God's power because of our faith in Jesus. All of this is true. Our living hope, our faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, has been secured for us in heaven. But it's also true. It's also true that we must still learn how to live and to press on through the challenges that we face in life here and now. There are lessons for us to learn about how to appropriate this living hope and how to hold on to it and never let it go. Learning to trust the hope that is in us in Christ. For the more that we trust in Christ and desire to know Him in all His fullness, the more we will experience the power of the resurrection that transforms our whole lives, our whole way of thinking, our whole way of being, and the more open we will be to the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit within us, guiding us in our every action of faith. You know, I believe this is what Peter is expressing as he completes his thought on our living hope and leaves us with this word of encouragement today. He says, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Isn't that beautiful? Beautiful hope that we have. You know, this Easter Sunday, as we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, let us not be discouraged because we're still facing the challenges of life, whether it be COVID or whether it be whatever it is for you. Let's not be overwhelmed by these things. But let us rejoice in the new and living hope that is ours in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let us rejoice in the inheritance of our faith, the love and the security we have in Christ that provides us with the confidence and the assurance to be able to face the challenges of life. We may be hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We may be perplexed, but we're not in despair. We may be facing a sixth wave of COVID, who knows? But we're not confined in our ability to proclaim boldly the truth that Christ the Lord is risen today. He is risen indeed. Amen. For this, my friends, is our living hope. Let's pray. Lord, just take these words and help us to really reflect today on, with joy in our hearts, this living hope that we have in You. May this hope that is in us just bubble up and bubble over to those around us that we are meeting with today, celebrating with today, friends, family. And Lord, help us to know with the confidence that we have in You, that we can trust You with all the things, the challenges that we face in life, big or small, Lord, we know that you are able to help us to see our way through with you because of our living hope in you. There's nothing that can separate us from the love that you have poured into our hearts through Christ Jesus our Lord. And Lord, so help us now to rest and to rejoice in all the goodness, this inexpressible and glorious joy that we have in you. We love you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name.